Aggie Nation Sports Talk up and rolling on a Wednesday, along with Vince D'Addario, Sean Stiers. How we doing today? Hope everybody is doing well as you filter in. How are you today, Vince?
Fantastic. It was a good day at the other gig, and the weather is starting to break a little bit, which is kind of nice. I'm not dealing, you know, with the heat. I think the rain is now going to hold off, which is good. So starting to feel a little crisp fall action outside, man. Starting to feel like football weather finally.
I know. I was outside today and I was doing my walk. I don't go there to the same place every day, but there's a, you know, like a little kind of a trail that I go to. And when I went out there, there was like, you know, like a light sprinkle kind of going on because it was raining this morning. And I was like, it's just, and then by the time I got, fortunately, I was about 2/3 of the way done, but it started pouring and I was just drenched. Yeah. When I got home, I was like, is my phone going to work now? You know, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. So, well, they're not waterproof these days, but they're extremely water resistant. Like, I wouldn't jump in the pool with it, but supposedly these things can handle weather. Supposedly. I know that I'm willing to test it out, but supposedly. The funny thing is I'm just now looking, and it looks like it's supposed to potentially rain on Saturday, actually.
I saw somebody said that today. So I don't know exactly what that'll mean. I guess you and I will be inside. That'll make for an interesting afternoon.
Yeah. I wonder anyway who that favors, who it doesn't favor, you know, all that nonsense. But I don't think it makes that much of a difference, if I'm being honest. So
I don't either.
I don't think Louisville is going to be like an air raid, air it out type of team. So, you know, according to the fan base, Riley Leonard sucks at throwing anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh boy, run the ball. Vince is coming in hot right away. I was going back and forth, you know, like, after Monday's show, we had someone post on the boards that we were talking down to Notre Dame fans for a good deal of the show. And I just wanted to say that it was not my intention, you know, to talk down to anyone. Vince, on the other hand, I mean, I think you fully intended just to talk down to everybody all night long.
That's probably accurate, because I'm just so sick of it. And to be honest with you, one of the administrators in the school district, we had a meeting this morning. He watches the show, and you know, he enjoys talking Notre Dame and everything. And we're in the middle of it, like an administrative like meeting, and he leans over to me and he's like, "They should start in jelly." And I just look at him, he just starts laughing, like, because he knew what to say to get my goat. Yeah, basically.
That's all it took.
That's all it took. Ruined the rest of my day. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Father David says, Vince talking down to the audience. Comforting, makes the world feel normal. There you have it.
Oh, yeah. I probably was. I don't know if it was intentional talking down, but it was definitely intentional trying to get my point across for the 1,000,000th time.
You know, and that's the thing. I'll say, you know, like, I'm not like saying this as an excuse, but you know, like, I was pretty worn out on Monday, and the conversation just with Riley Leonard just seemed like it didn't want to end. It feels like it's kind of run its course a little bit, you know.
Yes.
I guess we'll find out exactly, you know, to what extent it's run its course this weekend, if it's just going to pick back up again, or if there's going to be some people who are at least placated for a little while, I guess.
I think, depending on the outcome of the game on Saturday. And to be honest with you, Sean, I don't even know if the outcome matters. It's like the manner in which the outcome comes across, right? Because apparently the outcome of the last game didn't matter, that they won by 25. Right. So I'm curious.
There you go, Vince. You're just talking down again.
Dang it.
You're just talking down on people. That's you're doing.
Notre Dame is favored by 6.5 in this game, the last thing I saw. I don't know if it's changed since the other day, but they're favored by 6.5. So if Notre Dame wins by 7 or more, are we having that discussion still? Are we, you know, Are people happy at that point? Are they not happy at that point? I'm very interested to see the mood of the people. And it's all going to be based on two factors and two factors only. Did they win the game?
What?
How did Riley Leonard play? Those are the only two factors people care about.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, those two factors are pretty even. One should be much more important than the other, but it's not.
I would agree. I mean, now you don't want a quarterback who's throwing a million interceptions and they win in spite of that
kind of
thing. But obviously, the only time I was going to say the only time he's turned the ball over, but the only time he's turned thrown interceptions, they did end up losing that game. You know, the second one was very crucial. Fortunately, they overcame his fumble last Saturday, and they were still able to win in large part because of a lot of the things that he was able to do, whether it was passing, running, or whatever else. So, but no, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, winning and Riley Leonard, those are going to be the two things. Did you win? How'd the quarterback play?
Yep. No doubt about it.
That's going to be it. And then we go into a bye week and we'll get to ride that for 2 weeks.
That's why I hope against hope that there's positive vibes coming out of that game, man. Hope against hope. Because
rub that red foot, rub that
for 2 weeks, Sean. 2 weeks. I don't know if I can do it. I might have to take a mental leave of absence.
We will talk about the UNLV quarterback and his NIL
situation.
I was trying to figure out the best way to put it. We will talk about that in rapid fire. That is going to come up. John just brought that up. Let's just go ahead and jump right in. It is mailbag day, and the questions are starting to flow in. I saw Salty got us stocked up. Let's start with Mark's question. Does it surprise you the coaches seem locked in on Anthony Knapp and won't let any other tackle have a try?
Well, we don't know what they're doing in practice. There may be plenty of guys trying at practice, and maybe it's not good enough. I mean, I don't know that that means that they're locked in. You don't have to try out a guy in a game to know whether or not they can do the job. And if they're not, like, you've got starters, you've got second team, you've got third team, right? And I think, Sean, you've said this in the past when we were talking about who was going to replace Jagsaw and all that, right? They're going to have to prove something in practice before you're just going to throw them into a game situation.
Right.
You know what I, like,
correct.
So if that's not happening in practice, then I don't anticipate that it's going to happen in a game. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary of depositing my first $10 and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new Saucy Nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare ya. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Looking, Anthony Knapp is the starting left tackle, and on the depth chart, Tosh Baker, who's now healthy again, is listed as the number two. So maybe that answers your question right there, because no one was happy with the prospect of Tosh Baker before Anthony Knapp overtook him at the end of training camp, right? No one was excited about that prospect. So if that tells you anything, because Abshire was over there for a little bit, he's obviously young too. There just aren't that many viable options. And if they're, as you just said, if they're not able to demonstrate in practice that they can at least be as good as Knapp right now, you're not just going to throw them out there in a game and
right.
say, hey, see how you can protect Riley, especially considering you the teams that you played the last couple of weeks. Like, you know, like 2 weeks ago against Purdue, the reserves at least got in. So guys had a chance to at least put something on tape on game day and show what they can do and that kind of stuff. So I just, it's not an optimal situation to have a true freshman as your starting left tackle. But again, Charles Jagasaw was supposed to be the starter and he got hurt, and there's just not much you can do at this point. Tosh Baker is still here, and he, you know, like the more that you look at his situation, it's obvious that, you know, he's around for depth, and that's all that he is right now.
Yeah.
His depth.
At the moment. I mean, that's, you know, unless he, like I said, unless he does something at practice that makes the coaches say, oh, well, maybe we'd be better off if Tosh was in there, then he's not going to be in there. You know what I mean? And that's right. That's just where we're at right
and
now.
And look, you know, like the difference again, like Knapp can at least move his feet better. You know, like Knapp's gonna get out there and move his feet and give you pretty good effort. Whether he consistently makes the blocks that he needs to make, you know, you've seen what the results of that is on Saturdays so far. Baker has a much harder time moving.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and to be honest with you, for me, Sean, here's what it is for me. So you've got run blocking for Knapp is pretty much up here. Pass blocking is down in this range, okay? With the middle being like even, so we're kind of like right here. I think Tosh kind of brings it a little bit closer. I think it's a little bit more even Steven with Tosh. And so at that point then, it's a judgment call by the coaches. Do you want something that's really, really good and then something that's not great, right? Or do you want something that's, you know, average across the board? They have decided, at least up to this point, that they want a guy, because they are a run first team, they want a guy who's going to be really good at run blocking.
He's at least going to be an above average run blocker.
And they'll figure it out from a pass, you know, situation. So that's kind of where, again, it's a judgment call by the coaching staff. And I do think Tosh Baker would be better in pass blocking, but I don't think he's as good, you know, run blocking. And coaches have made that decision.
Speaking of which, from Andre, biggest questions on the offense and defensive line and how they play this weekend.
I mean, again, the biggest question about the offensive line is, can they pass protect, particularly on the left-hand side? I mean, that's the biggest question mark. Right now, Riley Leonard is not comfortable with his left side. No matter what he says verbally, we can watch how he plays. He's not comfortable when he drops back to pass with the left side of the line. So that's my biggest concern. Can they incrementally get that side of the football or that side of the line better? They need to get it better, right? And so that's by far the biggest question. Defensively, it's the interior of the defensive line. Can those guys be more consistent / dominant? I think you're getting pretty good play from the outside on both ends, but I don't think you're getting consistent play on the inside. So biggest concern defensive line is the middle.
Yeah, those specific things, I agree with everything that you said specific to Louisville. Like if you look at last year's game on both sides of the ball, they just need to play with more fire and more physicality than what they played last year against Louisville. Louisville just whipped them up front, and Notre Dame has got to be the one delivering blows in this game. I mean, they have at the very least shown so far this year that they can get up for bigger games, and that's what they need to do now because they obviously consider this a big game, and they've got to show up and just be physical on both sides. You know, we were talking a little bit about Riley Leonard yesterday, and specific to that interior defensive line, both those guys need to be more physical. Like they have it in them, but they've got to show it. And Louisville's defense has 26 tackles for loss. Now, I still, it's hard for me to fully gauge this Louisville team because they've played an FCS team, they've played a lower level group of five team, and then of course they played Georgia Tech last week. And even though they beat Georgia Tech in terms of, you know, numbers and all that kind of stuff, the way, you know, it was a lot closer game. They had to score a defensive touchdown. They had to score a special teams touchdown last week, you know, to beat Georgia Tech. So I think that if Notre Dame can sort of be the instigator and just take it to Louisville on both sides of the line of scrimmage and not let them be disruptors with those 26 tackles for loss that they've got, like Notre Dame's going to be in pretty good shape Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think that last year we had a lot of question marks about the drive and the want to of the offensive line. This year, I don't have those concerns. You know, when I watch it back on film, it's not a matter of not trying hard and not firing off the football and not being aggressive as far as being an offensive line, right? It's assignment and it's moving your feet and it's, you know, some things like that in the pass game. And so I do think that they're going to come and attempt to bring the fight to Louisville. I do think that. It's just, can they limit the mistakes? You know, that's going to be the biggest thing, because Miami was doing a pretty good job of doing some twists and doing some different things defensively that were confusing the crap out of the left side of the line, especially when it came to pass drops. And so they're going to have to get that fixed up, because the guys that are going to be doing these line games for Louisville are better than the guys doing the line games for Miami. And so they're going to have to get that stuff figured out. I think that they're going to come out and they're going to fire off the football in the run game, and they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to do all of those things, because I don't think that they're going to let what happened last year happen this year. It's that you can give me all the effort that you want, but if you make mistakes on a consistent basis, you're still going to lose. So they need to clean up those mistakes. But I agree with everything that you said.
Sure.
That they need to show that on a consistent basis, and I think they will. Just can't make those mistakes, man.
Yeah. Going back to Anthony Knapp, Joe was asking, I just saw it kind of at the top of the comments, if Knapp has made any improvement, any progress. And, you know, like eye test, I think, says no. And then, like, when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, he's actually gotten a little bit worse since the season started. He had a grade of 25.3 pass blocking in the opener. It went up to 59.9 against Northern Illinois, but then 33.1 against Purdue and 22 last week against Miami, Ohio. So,
he didn't play well last week. I mean, there's no, you can't even really sugarcoat it. There were obviously some run plays where he dominated and things like that, but he didn't play well. And, you know, sometimes guys don't play well. And the problem was Pendleton played worse. And so they can't both play poorly in the same day, because that really hamstrings you and makes you one-handed, and that's not good.
Yeah. From Salty, how much of a negative effect has Leonard's unavailability for spring and summer workouts had on the Irish passing offense?
More than I anticipated, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, he was around for summer. It's really the spring that he missed out on. He was pretty much back in the summertime. I mean, that's when he was going to the Manning camp and he was doing, you know, all these different things. So he was around in the summer, but spring, obviously, he was definitely unavailable for live reps, and it was all mental reps. And I didn't think that it would affect him as much as it has.
I didn't either,
but it definitely has. I mean, it's had a major negative effect. You know, whether it's getting used to his receivers, whether it's getting used to being behind the offensive line, or whatever the case may be, it's had a much bigger negative effect than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, me too. And just being in a new offense, I think, and all the familiarity, you know, with the new receivers and all those different things. Like you said, some of that was taken care of in the summer, but there's still a difference between doing that in the summer and actually being out there, you know, with Denbrock and, you know, like having it going over film, all those different things that you do. It's one thing to look at a playbook and just know the X's and O's and watch film with everybody else. It's another thing to have film of yourself and to have that, have everything that you do, good and bad, critiqued after every practice, which they do over the course of the spring. And yeah, just all those factors, I think, have added up. You know, the only kind of positive is his play did improve last week. So can he keep it improving now? Because it's like he's kind of got his sort of catch-up phase now. He's got four games under his belt. Like, are we going to see a more consistent Riley Leonard now going forward, or is it going to be, you know, peaks and valleys and stuff like that? Hopefully not. I like this one. I'll just throw this in there. Will John ever buy that damned insurance and get Ann off his back? Have you seen that commercial?
No, it's on
I think it's on NFL Network.
Oh, that's why.
Okay. All the time. It's the wife nagging John about, you know, like, this guy just had a heart attack. Do we have, you know, life insurance? John, you got to get that life insurance. Oh, man. It's an instant. They don't play it as much as they used to, but it's an instant mute button for me as soon as that commercial
comes on. That's hilarious.
Comes on. Yeah.
Well, that's quite the demographic.
Because that's what a man wants when he's watching TV, is to hear a wife nagging at another man. You know, that'll get the job done. I noticed Vince is completely quiet on that. Mark wants to know, if there was only one transfer portal window, would it be better after the spring to allow position? It was kind of broken up. Position battles to be more known. Better in the winter, better in the spring.
I mean, if you're not ready to say who your starter is in the spring, then you're not ready to say who your starter is in the spring. I mean, you can't operate as a coach in a manner that allows the kids to have the advantage. How about that? I don't,
as much as possible, right?
Yeah. I mean, as much as possible. Yeah. Look, you got the UNLV situation. You got the Jaden Mickey situation. You know, this is going to become more and more common as we move forward because of the way, you know, football is going and sports in general. But you can't completely change, you know, position battles and things like that, because the spring is different than the fall with what you're doing and how you're doing it and things like that. I wouldn't even feel comfortable having my all 22 set in stone leaving the spring. I mean, that's just not realistic, because you've got some early enrollee freshmen that still, you know, could have the summer to improve with their strength and their conditioning and things like that. You know, you've got guys that aren't even going to be here until the fall. There's just too many scenarios and there's just too many unknowns in the spring to start putting, you know, guys' names in cement. I don't think that would be the case.
Yeah, there are pros and cons to both. Honestly, I like having both. I don't know if coaches like having both a winter window and a spring window, but I think if you're going to eliminate the spring window, you're just going to see more guys enter the portal in December. You know, now do they find homes and stuff like that? Like, the benefit of the winter portal for the player is you can make your decision, you can find your new school, and you can go join up with that new school in the middle of January and be there for spring practice and go through spring practice with your team, just like Riley Leonard intended to do last year, you know, if it weren't for the injuries. At the same time, there's another benefit to the player after having gone through some of those position battles. Like, well, if things don't work out, I can still transfer at the end of the spring. So that's why I just think you're going to see even more guys enter the portal in December.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's honestly, I feel like you still need the two windows, but I guess, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And they're going to narrow it to one, because there's going to be plenty of guys out there that if you do narrow down your depth chart in the spring, there's going to be guys that want to get the heck out of there. You know what I mean? And so you're going to see less battles, you know, figured out in the spring now that there's no portal in the spring. Right. Isn't that when they're going to do it? They're going to have the portal in December only, and they're not going to have it in the spring. Right. So it's going to be even more wide open, I think, in the spring than it ever has been, because they don't have to. You're here. You're stuck.
Yeah. And I think from the coaching standpoint, I don't think that they're necessarily going to mind that. It's just, especially if you're in the playoffs in December and you're dealing with, you know, portal guys and everything, you're both trying to prepare for a game and you're still finalizing your early signing period recruiting, and you're going through, you know, like some guys are going through coaching staff change and all that different kind of stuff, and you're preparing for games, and just
a lot.
There's so much. And that's why I'm a little surprised they, you know, like if they were going to pick one or the other, they didn't just move the portal
to the spring. Yeah, but no doubt.
That's not the way they opted to go.
Again, I feel like there needs to be two, because you're going to have guys that know that they're going to leave after, you know, they know they're going to leave their team. Why are you forcing them to stay for spring?
Right.
You know what I mean? So having one at the end of spring doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know,
because now, like, if you come out of spring practice and you decide, man, I'm third on the depth chart, what's the point in staying here? You can't, there's nowhere to go.
Nothing.
Like, you could leave the team if you wanted to, but you can't go join another team because of the way the portal is set up.
Yeah.
You can't join the portal, you know, go to the portal again until the following December.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. I don't understand why they're doing that, to be honest. I don't know why they're trying to pack everything into December, because there is so much going on. You're gonna have 12 teams in a freaking playoff, you know, and you're gonna have, I don't know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I concur. Andre wants to know if it's too optimistic to say Riley Leonard will be the first Notre Dame player to rush for 200 yards and pass for 200 yards in the same game. Is that too positive?
Man, that's really positive, because that's just a lot of possession, to be honest with you, you know, to have that much yardage. It's just a lot. Yes, I think it is being a little bit too positive. I mean, he's been close, I guess. He's had, over 150 yards rushing and like 125 or so passing. But I still think you're possessing the ball an awful lot, and I don't know that there's anybody left on the schedule that you're going to be able to do that to. Maybe the service academies, but your possessions are limited against those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're going to even have the opportunity to do that. And let's not brush the service academies aside, because between the two of them, they're undefeated. So none of them have a loss. And Navy actually dominated Memphis, who beat Florida State. So at this rate, man, they're going to come out and they're going to beat the crap out of Louisville and lose to Navy. Like that's where I'm at with this team right now.
Yeah, this is not the year to be overlooking service academies.
No.
That's for sure. But you know, the question, I just think that it's going to be too tough for Leonard to hit both of those marks in the same game. Like the 143 yards that he had last week is his career high. You know, like that is the most that he's ever had. Now, he pops another run here or there, and, you know, he's got, you know, a 200 yard game potentially in him, but it's what complicates it is you've got two great running backs as well.
Yeah,
I don't see him being the guy who's going to hit 200. Like I could see him around where he's been and also have 200 passing yards.
Sure.
If the game turns offense, you know, and that's the other part of it as well. You still have to remember that other side of the ball and like Notre Dame's defense and how much that dictates. You need to have Riley Leonard in. There aren't going to be a whole lot of shootouts you don't anticipate and that kind of thing. So I think it's just going to be a little too hard for him to get both over 200 in both in the same game.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not going to be a secret that Riley Leonard wants to run the football. and that they want Riley Leonard to run the football. So, you know, what are you going to do if you're a defense? It's going to be the Ian Book defensive mentality. Hey, we got to pack the box, make sure that they don't run the ball. And then Riley Leonard's going to have to prove that he can consistently throw the ball down the field and throw the ball to the outside and do all of the different things to unpack the box, right? And we feel like there's been bits and pieces of that force defenses to get outside the box, but it needs to be more consistent. And until that happens, it's going to be really hard for Riley Leonard to get 200 yards. That's a lot of yardage on the ground.
We've got this fly buzzing around in my
room
here. It's a lot of fun. Robert wants to know our thoughts on Tyler Buchner. He says, I know he transferred twice, so trusting him long-term has become difficult. Setting that aside, Buchner seemed a talented quarterback. Thoughts?
There's a lot to unpack here on this one. So, number one, yes, he transferred twice, but one of those times was back to Notre Dame. So, he left once. I mean, he left once and came
back.
As
a lacrosse player, too.
Yeah, well.
Well, I guess technically he did transfer twice. He transferred when he left. He transferred
right.
When he
came back. No, it's absolutely correct. I mean, he did transfer twice, but one of those transfers was back to the original spot. Right. You know what I mean? So, it's like you've only been to two schools. I don't think trust is an issue at all. I think he knows he made a mistake by leaving. I think he made that very clear to Marcus Freeman. And Marcus Freeman wouldn't have brought him back if he didn't trust him. You don't voluntarily bring people on your team that you don't trust.
Yeah.
And so, and on top of that, and somebody had mentioned it in the chat, he's giving signals on the sideline. You don't give that kind of responsibility to somebody that you don't trust. So that part of the question, there's no trust issues between Tyler Buchner, the staff, the team, all of that. From what I can tell, he was welcomed back with open arms. He's part of the team. He's just here to help out in whatever way he can. As far as him as a quarterback, I was very high on Tyler Buchner when he came in to Notre Dame. There's no doubt about it. I think there are multiple factors that came into play as to why he probably didn't pan out. One of which was he didn't get a senior season.
In high school, correct.
I think that really hampered him because he was playing a lower level competition, you know, up through junior year. Plus, he'd only played one full year of football in high school at that time. He transfers up to a more competitive situation, and then COVID hits and he gets no senior year. And so I think that definitely hampered his development for sure. And then he went to that quarterback coach and they changed his motion and all of that. And that certainly did not help the situation either. So those two things did not help. And then just the jockeying of position and things like that at Notre Dame and kind of the back and forth and spotty coaching. And it was just a combination of a lot of different things. And he was kind of a ruined quarterback at that point. I think he had a lot of talent. I think he had arm talent. I think he had leg talent. I think he could have been good. But like I said, COVID, the quarterback coach, some of the coaching at Notre Dame, all of that, you throw that into a pot and it wasn't going to happen for him.
Yeah, all of that, I will
stamp it.
I will stamp that. I will sign off on that. And I would just say that his chance to ever be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame left when he decided to transfer to Alabama at the 100%. End of last spring.
And he was sold a bill of goods from what we can tell.
I mean, it's not all on him, but it was his decision.
Oh, absolutely.
Ultimately, because we've talked about this before, had he stayed, he would have been the number two. He would have gotten number two reps all of last training camp, all of last season ahead of Steve Angeli. And you know, like that was his real like last chance at being a developmental guy. I don't know what kind of reps he got at Alabama with three quarterbacks down there last year. And obviously, you know, ended up sticking with the guy. Obviously from a team standpoint, somehow it ended up working out for Alabama because maybe one of Nick Saban's second or third worst team ended up making the playoffs still at the end of the day. But, you know, for Tyler Buchner, that was his chance. Last year was going to be it, where he could have stayed behind Hartman. And then as they got through last season, then they've got to make a decision.
Sure.
Is Buchner going to be the guy next year? You know, next year being this year.
Yeah.
And if not, then they probably, you know, if so, then they they don't go out and get Riley Leonard, and Tyler Buchner is the starting quarterback right now. But he transferred and everything else, and now the quarterback room is just in such a different place than when Tyler Buchner left just a little bit more than a year ago. And so the ship has just sailed is what it ended up being. But, you know, again, like his chance for getting the finishing touches development was last year as the number two behind Sam Hartman, but that's not what it ended up being.
And I would have loved to see, you know, a year under Gino Gaudioli, you know, and what he might have been able to do with Tyler Buchner and maybe adjusting some of that arm stuff and, you know, getting him. Because, look, I mean, he made some massive mistakes in the bowl game that he played in. There's no doubt about that. But he was also dynamic as well. I mean, it was very Riley Leonard-esque, right? I mean, let's be honest. It's very Riley Leonard-esque. And I think that if he would have stuck around, there's a good chance he's the starting quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, I think that's a definite possibility. And so him leaving brought Riley Leonard here. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So,
I mean, he could have gone someplace else and probably been the quarterback for somebody else this year, but he wanted to come back.
Right. That's the other thing. Yeah.
You know, and he obviously came back as a lacrosse player first, and now he's a walk-on football player. So, so I mean, if he really wanted to be a quarterback, he could have gone someplace else, most likely.
Are you kidding me? If I'm a coach at a bit of a lower level, and he said in his letter that he wrote is that he had opportunities to go elsewhere to be a quarterback. I mean, there's plenty of places that would have taken him as a quarterback.
Well, just no the fact doubt. That he was a quarterback at Notre Dame and Alabama.
Yeah.
That's going to open doors for you everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Just right there alone.
100%. Yes.
Salty wants to know top three priorities for the Irish during the bye week.
I guess you want to recover any kind of bumps, bruises, injuries, things like that. You know, you want to hope that Gabriel Rubio maybe can come back after the bye. You want to hope that maybe Billy Shrouth can come back after the bye. You know, you want to rest those guys and get them as much rehab as you possibly can. Get those guys back. I mean, honestly, that's always the number one priority of a bye week is getting everybody healthy. For me, number two is going to be making sure you have the best options on the offensive line, whatever that means. You know, whether that means, okay, Billy's coming back. Is he going to come back as the right guard? And then is there a chance that he moves to left guard? You know, is this where, you know, you hypothetically give Tosh Baker a chance at left tackle? Like you have an opportunity now over a 2-week period where you can maybe experiment just a little bit and see if there's some changes that you want to make, you know, things like that. And then the third one, obviously, is continue to work on the confidence of your quarterback. Continue to make sure that Riley Leonard is locked in, you know, whatever that means to you, locked in as in comfortable with the game plan, comfortable with the play calling, comfortable with his wide receivers, comfortable behind the offensive line. You know, you continue to work on that. So those would be my three.
Yeah, I like this from Andy Saylor, get the layup passes working. And I mean, you touched on it. Like you've got the extra time. You've got a time. You basically got a week with no opponent to plan for. You know, do they give them, I suppose how much time they end up getting off next week probably depends on how this Saturday goes, right? Like, but fine tuning of the quarterback, I think, is very important. An extra time that Mike Denbrock and Gino Gaudioli can spend with Riley Leonard to work on some of those things, whatever they think is the biggest priority that they're not able to get to when you're on that hamster wheel and you're, you know, opponent on Saturday, and then you're, you know, right into game prep for the next week's team. You know, all those little things, health, you know, you touched on. And I would say, you know, like, I think most teams will say that they're continuously doing self-scouting, but I feel like that is something that you can also kind of make sure that you're on top of if they don't already feel like they're on top of that, to make sure, like, from a tendency standpoint and those kind of things.
And that's what all those analysts should be doing on a regular basis. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what the bye week is for as well, to kind of take a step back, you know, and make sure you're not predictable in your play calling and, you know, all of those different things. There's no doubt about that. And look, Riley Leonard hit the layups against Purdue, but he wasn't throwing the ball down the field. Then the next week, he's not hitting the layups, but he's throwing the ball down the field. So he just has to put it together. I mean, that's really all that we need to see, and we need to see it in, what, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is. That's when we need to see it. And Jay makes a very good point in the chat. He says, this is assuming that they win. If they lose, the bye week is definitely different.
For sure. And
you are absolutely correct. It is definitely, because then if they lose, then you're having to, as Marcus Freeman would say, challenge everything. You're going to have to go back to the drawing board on a lot of different things.
Stupid flies are just. Has Thor found his hammer?
I think I'm going to go with yes. I was actually very impressed with the way he punted the football on Saturday. If they can continue doing that, he's going to be an asset, not a detriment, the way he was in the first three games.
Whatever they did last week, just keep doing that.
Yep.
Because it looked good. It looked like he wasn't thinking, you know, like he wasn't trying to be, you know, too exact. You know, it was almost like paint by numbers punting at times out there. It's like 1-2, you know, like just let him punt. He let it rip. You know, there was one where I don't think I think it ended up, it was 40 some yards. He was punting from his own end zone.
Yeah.
And he got it, what, back to around the 40, 35, I think, on the other side of the field. So just some basic, simple stuff. Like maybe a little bit like Riley Leonard. Still want to see it again this week, but as long as they don't overload him and make him overthink something as simple as putting your foot to a ball, I think he should probably end up being fine. USMA 87, which player on offense and defense is the biggest surprise, specifically the invisible men like Mills? So I guess what he's saying is like
surprise, either
surprise good or bad. Yeah.
Well, I mean, offensively, my surprise is the left side of the offensive line. I mean, I didn't see those guys starting this season, obviously, and that was a massive surprise. So that's actually pretty easy. That's an easy one. I would say I would say I'm a little surprised that it's taken this long for Chris Mitchell to kind of get going a little bit. And part of that is the quarterback. I understand that. And he kind of had a little bit of a coming out party last week against Miami, but I thought he was going to kind of be the number one guy, and that's been Bo Collins. And so I guess he would kind of be a surprise as well because of how well he has played and how aggressive he has been. And I really enjoyed watching Bo Collins. So those are my offensive ones off the top of my head. Defensively, Mills is a good one because he has been on a milk carton pretty much all season, which is not a good place to be.
It's very distressing. Like I saw Mike Goolsby, he tweeted a video. There was a specific play of Riley Mills, and it's like, what are you even doing? Like, you're just letting yourself get pushed back 3 to 5 yards off the ball, like without any real, you know, force. Like, you were supposed to be like, you can't just look like Tarzan and play like Jane, you know, like exactly. The old saying. It's like, you look like Tarzan, play like Tarzan, because there were times when he did play like Tarzan last year. You can't be built like that and have that size and have NFL aspirations and be playing like Mills is playing right now.
I completely agree. I will spin it positively, and I will say that Christian Gray has been an absolute not surprised, because we knew he was good, but he has been better than good. Like, he's been really, really, I mean, look, to be honest with you, the biggest detriment to his game is he can't catch right now. He should be leading the country in interceptions, and he's been so good. And you needed him to be good opposite Benjamin Morrison, obviously, but he's been so good that teams are throwing at Benjamin Morrison now. So he has been an absolute pleasant surprise.
I agree. I thought we were going to see more from Jaden Greathouse at this point. It's been a little bit up and down. Again, like to your point, the quarterback does have something to do with that, because there have been plenty of times where Greathouse has been open, but Leonard hasn't pulled the trigger on him. But, you know, like the Mitchell, I was really wondering like what they were actually going to get from Mitchell, just based on the fact that we really, you know, again, like whatever we got to see in camp, but like we just never saw a whole ton from Mitchell. And that was one of the bigger questions for me is, you know, like, is he just going to be a couple times a game go route type guy, or how involved is he going to be? We really started to see some promise from him though last week, you know, like that little, you know, like that diving low catch that he made from Riley Leonard. That was a really good sign that he's not just a, you know, like that he can be reliable, that he's got good hands, that he can do some different things. Boubacar Traore, like, even though I think, you know, we felt like he was a guy who could give him something, he's really shown it the last couple of weeks. And so that, and even Jordan Botello, even though unfortunately he's gone. So I would say both of those Vipers, really. Botello before he was injured, and Boubacar, you know, really we've seen even like his best game since Botello has been out. So both of those, surprise.
Dig it.
Light it.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Josh, with Mickey transferring and Morrison likely going to the NFL, do you guys think they'll go to the portal for another cornerback, possibly two of them?
Well, they're bringing in, I think, a couple in the freshman class, right, Sean? I think it's two, or is it three?
That's what I was just going to look at, okay, because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Right now, I believe they have four in-house. And if you're going to subtract one, that's now three, but you're adding two, that's five.
Yeah, you got Mark Zachary, Dallas Golden, Cree Thomas.
Okay, so they're bringing in three.
Yep, those three right now, and a couple safeties, obviously, as well. But so, in terms of the corners, you've got those three guys.
So you got four. I believe they have four right now. I guess I could probably go to the roster just to double-check that. You know, legit guys on the roster. No, you've got more than that. No, that's last. I was going to say, that's not the right one. I'm still on last. I changed the roster on my computer because I was looking for Jaden Mickey because they already took him off the roster.
Yeah.
So I was like, that doesn't look right.
I mean, I won't be surprised if they go to the portal for at least one, if not, you know, try to go get another guy who can play nickel. Yeah.
It would be a depth piece. I mean, they've got five corners on the roster right now. You're going to lose one. You're going to be down to four if Chance Tucker sticks around. Then you're going to add three. That's seven. So then you're going to have seven corners on scholarship on the roster. That's a pretty good number, to be honest with you. And then if you bring in one for depth or as a nickel, then, you know, you're sitting at eight. And so I think that's you're in a pretty good position at that point. I wouldn't bring in multiple.
Yeah, unless again, one of them is like a Jordan Clark type guy whose main job would be nickel, you know, that kind of thing. Like, so you've got him and then one additional guy as well. Jay is asking concerns of someone throwing Jeremiah Love a bag this offseason and losing him. Two different things. One, I think Notre Dame, all signs are pointing to they're doing a good job with NIL, and it doesn't seem like a big concern. That said, I think there's always a concern that
sure,
because there's a lot of poaching that goes on, you know, depending on the amount of money that someone throws, I think that it's always going to be a concern for anybody that it could happen with anybody.
Completely agree with you. I would never put it at 100% for a single guy on this team because you just never know with the transfer portal and everything else. I mean, I didn't see Jaden Mickey leaving after game four, and so I'm not going to say never on any of this, but somebody's going to try to throw him a bunch of money. There's no doubt about it. That will absolutely happen. Just depends on whether he's going to take it or not. And again, it's not like he's crying poor right now either. Notre Dame is taking care of him. He will be just fine. So are we talking, you know, what kind of money are we talking about here? That's the difference.
They just started up another NIL initiative and the whole thing.
Yes. This time he says that Love is hidden on Peacock. He's not hidden on Peacock. Anybody that wants to see Love play,
one game,
Love play. Relax. Nobody's hidden anywhere.
I mean, even against two, what should have been bad MAC teams, he was on national TV on NBC. Like, that was right. The first time Northern Illinois, by the way, has ever been on national broadcast television.
There
that
you
game
go.
Against Notre Dame.
And there's plenty of other teams. If you look at the teams in the SEC, for example, they have games where they're on like ESPN Plus
or SEC, SEC Network. Network.
Yeah. Exactly. And you've got to have a subscription to watch SEC Network. So what's the difference between one subscription and another?
Brian, not a question, but a comment. He says he's noticed Aeneas Williams usually on the field on third down and medium slash.
No, that's not true. He's out there sometimes, but most of the time, actually, it's Devin Ford who's out there in those situations. So they're kind of splitting some of those reps, I would say, but Devin Ford is out there way more often than Aeneas Williams.
Those are the two main third down backs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. And that, we'll get to some of the Jeremiah Love touches stuff in rapid fire, by the way, like how many times he touches the ball and stuff like that. Interesting comment from Mike Denbrock, I thought, last night that we will talk about. I'm unstarring a couple of these that we've already.
Perfect.
Gotten to Mark with the big increase in scholarships next year, including beyond football. Have you heard how many Notre Dame will use for each sport?
It's Notre Dame. They're going to use them all. I mean, that's
well,
there's no reason.
I would say in the revenue sports anyway.
Like, well, fair. That's like fair.
What they end up using, I think that will be a question in some of the non-revenue.
That's fair. In other conferences, it's going to be a conference decision.
Yeah.
As to how many scholarships are used in each sport. Obviously, Notre Dame doesn't have to worry about that. Well, they do in every other sport except for football. And so the ACC may say, hey, we're only going to use 30 of the 35 scholarships in baseball. And so five of those guys can be walk-ons, just as an example, right? I don't know the answer. It's not like they're going to come right out and tell us what that answer is. Football will use all 105. I can guarantee you that much because they will. There's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. They're literally paying for guys to be on scholarship with NIL money at this point. There's no reason that they can't all be on scholarship.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've got to have extra bodies. You're not going to have walk-ons anymore. So right. You've got to have extra bodies around. And everyone, if you're going to have 105 guys on the roster, each one of them has to be getting some scholarship money. So,
and I don't think you can split up the scholarship money in football.
No, you can. You can.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah. After you get the extra 20 can be split up. Yeah. Hmm. That was part of this deal. Like the 85 are still full.
Interesting.
But the
I didn't realize that
86 to 105 can be partial scholarships. So like, you know, again, so like you could have guys who would have been preferred walk-ons this year, for example,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, give essentially 20 guys a half scholarship if you wanted to. Yeah.
I just don't know why they would do that. They got plenty of money. Just give it to them all. Give it all to them.
Oh, the age-old argument, Vince. They've got plenty of money.
They do.
Why don't they spend it?
But they
do. The rich man stays rich because he does not spend the money, Vince.
Look.
And I know they've got the money, but
they've got plenty of money to be squirreling away. Well, look, here's the other thing, though. You are now going to be competing with other Power Four teams who are going to give full scholarships for the 105. You got to give 105 full scholarships. Other sports is a different conversation, but for football, you got to give them the full boat. That's all I'm going to say. Because look, rare is the kid who's going to be like, no, I'm going to turn down a full scholarship to take a half scholarship. Like, I don't know that that's going to be, it's not realistic, frankly. There's some kids that will do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll be curious to see. Brian, if you could just resubmit the question, because he's saying that there was another question that went along with that, that maybe he just put it in there right now. Okay. We'll get to this first. Joe says, does that hurt guys who are walk-ons right now?
Yes. Yeah,
because they have, including walk-ons, I believe the fall training camp roster was 116. There's going to be a hard limit of 105. You can only have 105 guys. So
it sucks.
Someone's not going to be on the team next year who would have been on the team who is going to be a walk-on.
Yeah, so. It's a crappy, crappy situation because most teams carry 120, 125, depending, guys on the team, and you can only have 105. So anybody 106 and on, they're getting the old heave-ho. They're gone. And
there are going to be decisions to be made.
I personally think this is going to hurt teams. People are like, well, you don't need 106 guys on a team to win. You need depth. I'm telling you right now, to have practices the way you want to practice.
You'll be like, feeling it in November. You need those scout team guys to be able to basically be the Rudies out there and absorb hits who, you know, to be quite honest, you don't care that they don't, you know, they don't have to go out there and actually play on Saturday. So you don't mind them taking, you know, getting more bumped and bruised.
And look, we saw it at practice, right? They did something this year that they've never done before. They had two full teams practicing. You had the ones and the twos offensively and defensively, and then everybody else over on the other side offensively and defensively. You're not going to be able to do that if you cut down. You're not going to be able to do that kind of stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. It will hurt them. It will hurt teams in the long run. That's just the way it's going to be.
So Brian's question, why isn't Love or Price on the field on third down? I get Williams, you're correct. Ford is a better blocker, but why keep the talent Love or Price? I'm thinking he's saying off the field. I mean, they've got this third down rotation. I don't disagree with what you're saying. Like the one that I looked at last week specifically was the third and 14. They're backed up inside their own 10-yard line, and they have Devin Ford out there on the field, and Ford runs off to the left, and he gets a couple of yards, and he gets tackled. Now, if you're putting Love – or not Love. If you're putting Ford on the field because he's – those two guys are out there because of their pass protection skills, you know, like Ford, Ananias Williams. So if you're putting him out there and it is like – you know it's going to be a run play, then it should be either Love or Price out there on the field if all you're going to do is hand it off. But if you're going to go to the line of scrimmage and let Riley Leonard look at the defense and then make a read, or you know maybe even Mike Denbrock from the sideline is like, okay, we're going to run this pass instead of this run, then you've got to have, especially when you're backed up like that inside your own 10-yard line, you've got to have the guys who you think are the best pass protectors out there. That's why those guys are on the field in those third down situations.
Agreed. I could have said it better myself. And look, they're making the decision on who they like better in those situations. And if they like the other guys, those guys are the ones that would be out there. I mean, it's not a situation of where everybody gets a participation ribbon and they, you know, each kid has to be out there for X amount of snaps. It's that they feel like those guys are the best option in those moments and in those situations.
Right. Do you want to talk about Deuce at all? Like,
I don't know much more than what everybody else knows. I mean, all I know is
he's salty. Wants to know if we think he's going to remain in the class.
I don't care. How about that? I don't want to diminish. He's a talented kid, obviously. And if he wants to go to Auburn and fail, then he can go to Auburn and fail because they're going to expect him to start right away. He will not be ready to start right away. He's a good to great quarterback talent. He's not ready to start. And Notre Dame told him that.
Have you heard the stuff with Hugh Freeze this week coming out of there? Like, oh, yeah. Hugh Freeze basically pointing the finger at players. And then Bo Wallace, his old quarterback, went on social media and went on a rant about how Hugh Freeze is, you know, like a me guy. And, you know, he's pointing the fingers at the players all the time. And look at how many times Deuce Knight has already been to Auburn. And then you look at this situation that comes along with it. It feels like the longer this draws on, the more it stays in Notre Dame's favor. But at the same time, I've just been kind of over it for a while because it has just been so protracted. It just keeps going and going and going. And okay, great. If he's going to come visit during Stanford, great. But how many times were we told that an announcement was imminent, that he was going to flip, and he hasn't flipped? If I was Deuce Knight, though, I wouldn't want any part of Auburn.
Oh, God, no.
Just based on everything that you see and hear out of there.
No, not at all. I mean,
we've got a listener, Robbie, who's from here, but he was a walk-on down there at Auburn. So maybe he can fill us in on, you know, even some more details. I think he usually listens after the fact. So maybe Robbie can fill us in on the Auburn scenario.
I just think that Notre Dame has been very honest with Deuce from the beginning. They were one of the first ones to be on him early on in the process. And they told him, look, you're going to be a project and we're going to develop you. We can give you the tools to be developed. And I think Auburn's pitch is different. It's like, you're amazing. You're going to start right away. I just don't think that that's the case. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's going to be successful in that regard. And just, we'll see. We shall see. I think there's enough talent in the guys that are on the roster right now and the guys that are still committed in Grubbs where they'll be fine if Deuce decides not to come to Notre Dame. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's just that you're going to have that gap.
Oh, for sure. You just never know what the future is going to hold as far as who's going to be where, who's going to transfer, who's not, you know, all of those different things. They'll bring in a quarterback in this class. They've got other plans. They're just not going to, you know, activate those plans unless Deuce says he's out.
Or you could give Rizak a scholarship as well.
And he may be on a scholarship next year if he's still on the team. So,
right. I mean, if he's still on the team, he will be on some kind of scholarship. But again, you know, like depending on how the transfer portal goes in that room, like, you know, like you might have to bring in more than one guy.
And that's okay. I mean, if you bring in a developmental guy in that class in his place, I mean, you've got Kenny Minchie, you've got CJ Carr, you're going to have Noah Grubbs. Like, I think it's okay to bring in, bring in a guy who you don't necessarily think will be a starter for you in the future, who is a depth piece, who is an arm, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's okay to do that. They've done that in the past. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. It's not the route that they wanted to go at this point, but where you are at this point, if you're forced into that situation, it won't be the worst thing in the world, especially with the other quarterbacks who they're going to have in the room. Should the winner of the Bama-Georgia game this weekend be the odds-on favorite to win the college football championship?
No, because I think Texas will have something to say about that. That's the short answer to this whole thing. I think Texas is better than both of those teams. So
as of right now, I agree. Like, well, I think they're at least better than Alabama. I think we're going to find out a lot about Alabama this weekend.
I agree with that.
We're going to find out much more about Alabama than what we're going to find out about Georgia. So, yeah, I don't think it's on. I mean, especially since Texas is part of the SEC now. Like, I agree. I think that the winner of this game is definitely going to be in the playoff at the end of the season. but I don't think that they're necessarily the front runner to win the national championship, because you've got teams like Texas, you've got teams like Tennessee that somebody just brought up there. Stymie brought up Tennessee. Tennessee's been pretty impressive so far, and USMA 87's right. Texas is looking pretty tough as well. One more from Andre. Game wreckers, offense, defense that we're not talking about.
I hate when people ask questions about what we're not talking about. I know. We talk about everybody. I mean, we have 11 shows a week. We talk about everybody. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know who we – like, okay, maybe we don't talk about Xavier Watts enough. So he'll be my defensive game record that we don't talk about.
Way to go out on a limb. No.
Well, I mean,
I know you're absolutely right. And we don't talk about Benjamin Morrison enough either. So I'll say that he'll be a game wrecker. He'll have a pick in this game that will turn the tide.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay. That is a limb. Offense. I mean, you've got the big three, the two running backs
and the quarterback.
And then the quarterback.
How about,
I haven't really seen a go ahead.
I was going to say, how about Mitchell Evans? They claim he's back to 100%. We're talking about the layups. I think he could get hit with a few layups. So I'm going to go Mitchell Evans. Game wrecker.
He's someone I thought of, but again, we just haven't seen it so far. Connor Laws, I like your vote. Jordan Clark, I like that one a lot.
Okay, there we go.
He might be right now the most underrated guy on the defense. I think that's a really good one, Connor. Jordan Clark has played exceptionally well. Like, every time you look up, the guy's just out there making plays.
Yeah.
You know, like swatting balls away, diving all over the place, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think Jordan Clark is a really good answer for the defense. That's as under the radar, I think, as you're going to get at this point. Because like you said, Vince, we talk about everybody. So I don't know how anyone, you know, we could not be talking about otherwise.
Yeah, right.